Well, good morning out there in radio lands. What a day the Lord has made. This is the day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible, my friend. Today is the day that victory is coming. Today is the day that healing is coming. Today is the day of salvation. And today is the day that whatever you're facing, whatever situation, He is with you. He's never forsaken. He's never left you. If you don't know Him today is a great day to get to know Him. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that He is Lord, you shall be saved. So glory be to God. This is the day, and this is the day that anything is possible. Miss Jeannie, how are you doing this morning?
After that, I am definitely born of Him.
Amen.
Amen.
What a great day to know the Father.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
Yes.
Miss Karen, how are you?
I am the same thing.
Amen.
I am in Him.
In Him. That's
Woo.
Right.
In Hallelujah. Him. And Miss Crystal, how are you doing?
I am good. I'm born of Him, like Jeannie said.
That's
and
right.
Like Jeannie says, I'm better than most.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Him.
That's
because
right.
of
That's
Him.
That's exactly
Yeah,
who I know.
I was listening to a sermon yesterday in all places at the gym and the sauna because I've been nursing an injury. And so I went to the chiropractor for the first time in my life yesterday, and they fixed my whole neck, and I'm this new man. I'm a new man. I've never went to a chiropractor before, but it was it was amazing. And so my whole neck was out of joint, and I compressed a nerve, and it was pinched, and that's what was causing all the pain.
Oh, yeah.
But I was in the sauna yesterday, and I was trying to get rid of some of the swelling and inflammation, and I was listening to a sermon while I was in there. And the guy said one of the best sayings. I think sayings you've probably heard before, it just hit really different in that moment. He said, it's time for us to stop doing stuff for Jesus and start doing stuff in Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
And he said, we do so much stuff for Him, but we don't do it with Him. And that's the problem, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I've heard that before, but it just hit different at that moment. And I was like, Lord, let me do it with You instead
right.
of, I mean, we're always trying to do it for Him. I'm going to work for You. I'm going to do this for You. And He's like, hey, I'm ready to do it with You. Like, won't You let me in on it?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, yeah, like, I get it. It was one of those moments. And so this day, I just want to remind you, somebody, stop trying to do it for mm-hmm. Him and start doing it with Him.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, He
right.
is never going to forsake you or leave you. He'll empower you and equip you. You can keep doing it, trying to do it yourself. And I'm a master of that, trying to do it myself. But when we surrender to Him, and we just, the best way I can say it, I don't know how else to say it, it doesn't mean apathy and complacency. Take a chill pill, rest in Him, and just move forward.
Right.
Go. The reason that we're struggling sometimes in life, and the reason we're struggling in ministry, is we're trying to do it within our own ability and our
right.
own power.
Right.
What He's equipped you and called you to, go all out for it in Him, with His glory, with His power, with His presence. You do not have to do it alone, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're walking through illness today, you're not alone.
It's a good time. Mm-hmm. It's a good time to come mm-hmm. to the table.
Right.
How about just come be with Him before you start this day?
Mm-hmm.
Just come on, get in, sit down with Him, and get in Him to begin with. You know, what is it, Karen, we used to say is that I'm with Him and He's with me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's both. You know, and so He will lead and guide our lives, but we got to start with Him.
Mm-hmm.
My Bible's open, and it says, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh,
he's and just like the chiropractor aligned Aaron's neck, God's Word will align us as
That's right.
are in Him.
Amen.
You know?
That's right. That's right. That's where we got to start.
Yeah.
Start.
And I even got to have a... afterwards, you know how they sit and talk to you so they make sure you're not going to go paralyzed or something's going to go bad after they prack you.
Walk out of there.
And so I had a chance to really share some things with them, and it was a good conversation.
I go every 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I go every week.
Like a bad experience. I went one time in my life, and I swore I would never, and I have never, ever went back. It was the most, what is it, most awful? It was an awful experience.
Now, see, there's people who are church hurt. She's chiropractor hurt.
I am.
We'll break your heel.
I have.
Stretch your hands forward.
There's deep wounds.
Stretch your hands forward.
That man crossed my arms, had me stand against the wall. had crossed my arms and ran at me in a football stance and hit me. He put a pad right here in front of my arm. If the radio audience can't see, my arms are crossed. And he put the pad right here in front of my crossed arms like this. And he football shoved me into the wall. Now, I have to say, my back cracked, but it scared me so bad. And then he was popping.
Where'd you find this guy?
Really? I've never heard of
him. I've never heard of that.
And I have never been.
I didn't have that happen yesterday.
I had someone gave me.
This was in Louisiana, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was one of those.
You know what they say about the chiropractors?
Yeah, they say things about those people. It was Bobby Boucher back there. Bobby
Boucher. It explains a lot at this point.
Okay, it was.
Nuff said.
But anyway, and he just popped my neck in ways that I was just like, oh, no, I can't do it. And I probably really need to go because, I mean, I pop and crack.
There's so many different ways.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Well, I know, like, I'm still a little bit sore in my back shoulder, but that's from the swelling that's still going down, the inflammation, because I guess it was a pretty good little pinched nerve, and my whole neck was crooked and lined and everything. And
makes a difference.
I was a new man. I was just like, because I've been in so much pain for the last week. I've been even doing those tin machines. You know, the thing just shocks you. Tried that.
Those are great.
That did help a lot, but you had to do it all the time. I mean, honestly. And
turn mine all the way up.
I've had one before.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was like, ooh.
Or even the rocks. Did you ever have the rocks, the hot rocks they put on you? That felt good. He did that part, but
he was a masseuse
something. First time I ever went, I came home and I told Denny, we got to bring the air compressor in the house. There's things I can do.
I know things now.
I can cure you, I promise.
You go one time. Yeah. Denny, won't you just lay like this for a minute here? Let me just stay here. Let me try this on you. I remember how he did it. But it was, oh gosh. I mean, like I said, I'm still a little bit sore, but I'm not in pain no more. Like it's,
that's right.
It was miserable. And finally, I just said, I'm going to go. And I'm with Miss Jeannie. I might just go every week. It might be my new thing. But it was amazing.
Our posture is terrible.
Yeah.
And that's where all of it
I slump all the time. And that's why I know I need to go. But
whew, and our cell phones and all that. You know,
I have a stronghold, I guess.
We're messed up. Physically.
I am messed up.
Well, you did go to a guy. I've never in my life heard anybody do that.
No, I haven't heard that. I think he was maybe.
I think he was clotheslining you or something.
He did. He tackled me.
What I'm just trying to do is picture this in my head.
That's what's too rough.
Especially, can you imagine my face? Because I'd never been. I had no idea what he was going to do. And he said, now I'm going to need you to put your hands like this. And I did.
What he was
like
doing
a dummy.
He was really preparing you to marry a tailor. That's what he was doing.
This is true.
My question is, did you ever look at him before he did it and say, do you really think this is a good idea?
I had no idea what he was going to do.
See, he was like, sucker.
He probably went out of the room dying.
Did he say? Did he say before he did it, my mom said women are the devil.
The devil. You got to say devil.
Oh, my God.
Those Louisiana chiropractors,
I walked into a really good timing.
You have no idea what we're talking about.
Can you change this thing?
I don't know.
Come on.
We need to go a different direction.
All right. I'll try to shift it. Let's straighten this thing out. All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, there's a lot of good people in Louisiana. Now, don't y'all listen to all this.
Just don't go to any of the chiropractors.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's probably good chiropractors. I just didn't find one.
It doesn't sound like it.
Okay, that gives more context. I got you.
Okay, Hannah, I went to a chiropractor.
Aaron probably needs
a football shove on me, and they've never heard of it, and so they said it's because it was from Louisiana.
No, that's funny.
Hannah had to go get a piece. I was telling them about, I did go to the chiropractor yesterday for the first time in my life, and then Crystal shared her story.
And you had a good experience.
Oh, it was amazing.
I'm telling you, I don't know what it is, but one of them that I've been to has this chair. And the chair.
Yeah, we've
bends,
heard about the chair.
It bends,
Jeannie's done bought one.
Really?
With the air compressor and everything.
She built it. She didn't buy it. She built it.
It's like a glorified massage chair. But man, it's so good.
Yeah.
Takes you back. And
well, speaking of chiropractor,
back to the anointing.
All right, so the weather is not looking favorable on us for tomorrow night for our bonfire. So here's what we're going to do. We're still going to fellowship. So come back. We're not going to be able to do the bonfire and hayride, I don't think. I think that's pretty clear. Even if it didn't rain tomorrow night and was 40 degrees, it's so muddy and wet that it's just not going to work well.
I got a torch.
And an air compressor. Yeah.
Don't start again, Miss Jeannie.
And a chair. Get four or five blowers out in the group and
have you a bonfire.
We'll just put
the whole ministry might be burned down.
We'll let Miss Crystal hold a torch and just knock her into it from behind. Somebody hit Miss Crystal into the fire. All right.
I want to see how you turn this spiritual.
All right. I don't. There's no turning this spiritual.
The Lord will knock us around. I don't know.
He just wants us to laugh some things out.
Laughter.
We need some healing this morning.
Yeah. Merry heart.
But like we are still going to fellowship. So we'll say about 5:30, we're still going to meet here, and we're going to have some fun activity. I think the older people and whoever wants to. All right. So it's not age exclusive. We're going to have volleyball in the gym because everybody loves volleyball and everybody can do that. And then we're going to have bunco in another building. So we're going to have bunco and volleyball.
Yeah, all the old people
going
to the volleyball net and all the young people
that
going
could
to
possibly,
the bunco.
Yeah, that could possibly
try to hit them with the ball.
Miss Doyle is an expert at volleyball. When you see her jump up there and spike it, it's pretty impressive.
I bet.
What is bunco?
Bunco.
It's kind of like
dice.
It's a game. It's
in
really
the
fun.
Church.
Yeah. We only bet potato chips, so it's okay.
Kind of like Yahtzee or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Similar. I know Yahtzee is. Yahtzee.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really fun. We've done it a couple times here. We have had bunco nights and actually really good turnouts. It was really fun. So instead of a bonfire, because this is just planned to be a fellowship night. That's what it was. Everybody, October seemed like one of the most busy, incredibly just boom, 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 boom. It was a really good October. Like, I don't want to say anything was bad or it's like, it. You know, there's sometimes you go to events, you're like, I just don't want to go. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, I told you I didn't want to go. Like, I really, during October, every event, everything was really fun. Like, it was really good week, month. But it was just, like, busy. Mm-hmm. And so our plan was at the end of October just for everybody to have one relaxing night. Nobody has a lot of stress on them. Yeah. Nobody has to bring anything. It's just come, let's laugh, let's fellowship, let's relax. And so we're still going to do that. And so everybody needs that every once in a while. Like, I think that's and sometimes that's important. And we're going to play a new game. We're going to put Crystal on a wall. Everybody's going to take turns hitting her from behind.
How long will it take to knock her out?
We're going to see how long it takes to pop her back. Like, I want to look this up on, like, YouTube or something and see what's going on here.
I know he did it because I was
there. You need to see if that guy, get her name, because he's probably been arrested.
He said it right when I was taking a drink.
What was his name?
No.
Yeah, don't say it.
I don't remember it really.
New Orleans Nightly News.
I know his face because it was coming at me.
Really?
New Orleans 41 Nightly News. Local chiropractor arrested for.
Thank God for his protection.
Yeah.
This is how fast he was coming.
I can't believe it. This is worse than bacon. You know that, right?
Really?
This is.
Oh, gosh. I mean, this is equivalent to Vermont. Morning, we would come in. Remember the one morning Miss Jeannie, me and you was on with Miss Chrissy, and she had locked herself in the chicken coop.
Yeah, the chickens. Oh yeah, that was a big day. People were calling in. This was big.
Oh my god!
And she had to ninja kick herself out. Everybody was trying to picture Miss Chrissy ninja kicking herself out of the chicken coop.
Oh my god!
It was funny. It was great.
Oh my goodness, we've had some really good times.
Now that truly sounds like a Todd Taylor moment.
What'd you do today?
She said, sorry, guys. I was late. I had to ninja kick myself out of the chicken coop.
Yeah. It became a great big thing.
I can imagine. Sounds like it still is.
Hey, I'm sure teachers haven't heard that one yet for not doing your homework.
Yeah, there you go.
I got
that's a good one.
I got locked in the chicken coop.
Some of you kids out there need to write that down.
Don't give them any ideas. We got enough.
All right. Well, anyways.
All right, Jesus. Come help us, Lord.
All right. So we're going to
remember our sufficiency is in God.
Yeah. All right. We're going to meet us here. We're going to meet everybody here at 5:30 this Wednesday night, and we're just going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have some food and, again, bunco and volleyball. So young people, come on out and be with us. Older people, come on out and be with us. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Middle people,
young adults, old
adults. We haven't forgotten you.
Elderlies.
Young and old.
Actually, we talk about the young and old so much. I have heard from some of the middle. I guess, Aaron, you would kind of be the middle.
Yeah, Aaron.
Oh, thank you.
But
the nicest thing Kate ever said to me. It means you're almost old.
Yeah, but I'm not old yet. I'm almost young, but I'm not young.
But
so.
I've heard from some of these middle crowd. They're like, I feel I don't know. I'm not in an old camp. I'm not in a young camp. I don't know what I am. I'm just floating in somewhere in the middle.
Well, I still feel like I'm in the young camp.
I do too.
I don't belong there.
I feel like I am too.
Miss Crystal will call herself a seasoned youth. Yeah. Is that yes. The adjective you would use?
Yes.
All right.
That's a good adjective.
A seasoned youth.
Because they say working with kids keeps you young.
Hold on, I'm going to write that down.
Well, last night, all right, I got one more story. We're in the story mode anyway. So then we'll go into Jude. Then we'll go into Jude.
I'm scared.
I'm sitting there, and me and Heather, and we're sitting at the table. We're talking to Kat, and Iris is in the living room because she's been grounded from electronics, so she's actually been a part of the family lately. And and so we're sitting there, and I go, I know, I'll be 40 in a year and a half. And Heather goes, she looks at me, she goes, no, you won't. I said, yeah. And I think it hit her. She's going to be married to a 40-year-old in a year and a half. And she looked at me really weird. And she's like, let's just say in a half a year, you're going to be 39. Like, let's don't go to the year and a half. She's really having this dilemma in her mind that she's going to be married to a 40-year-old in a year and a half.
You'd be in so much trouble.
And Iris goes, wait, you're not 40 yet? You look really old. And I said, Iris. And I'm like, okay, I have a lot of gray hair, but I'm not that old yet. And so she was just really shocked that I'm not. And then, I mean, I was just, she's like, I really thought you were 40. And Heather's like, I'm going to be married to a 40-year-old. And so everybody's having these crises over me being 40 in the middle of the living room.
Yeah, but I can tell you you're still young.
Yeah,
because you don't go in a year and a half, I'll be 40.
You go,
that's what young people do.
And we go, now, do you realize in 10 years I'll be 89?
We're not rushing that process at all.
We advance.
We don't talk about it. I'll tell you when you're there.
Brother Thomas, he said, you ain't in the middle group yet, young lad. I got a couple years. I got to hit that mile marker of 40, then I'll be in the middle group.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I saw Thomas. Actually, I saw Thomas twice this last couple of days. Once was, again, at that breast cancer awareness walk that was phenomenal that made for more put on this Saturday morning. And then yesterday at the gym, and I must say, Thomas has got one of the most amazing beards I've ever seen in my life. It's just so well-groomed. It's long. And I'm like, if I grew a long beard, it would be squirrely, it'd be patchy, because I can't grow this patch of hair under my nose. It'd be patchy here. I'd be like, I would have more like a Gandalf-type beard than I would a nice beard, and it'd be scraggly here and scraggly here. But I was just like, man, that's an impressive beard. All right, Jude. Jude.
What's Jude got to say?
Jude. We're in Jude chapter 1.
Starting Genesis.
Miss Jeannie, come on now.
Revelations 22.
Look.
So if you don't know what Revelations 22 was, Brother Tim came in and said, y'all need to, I shouldn't have said his name on the air. I'm sorry.
What was that, Tim what?
I don't know who he is. I don't know.
He works around here, I think.
He just walks around. We don't really.
I've seen him before.
But anyway, it said, I testify to everyone who hears the prophetic words of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to them the plagues that are written in this book. So that's why she's saying we need to read legit Revelations.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about bringing the house down.
I'm trying to bring y'all back spiritually.
I mean, really.
I'm with the last part. And the spirit of the bride say, come, Lord Jesus.
Well, I was trying to say what it was.
All right, so here we go, Miss Jenny. You'll like this. The heading over my part of Jude this morning is a call to persevere. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to create perseverance in people. I'm trying to. I tell my wife all the time. I said, I'm trying to just create patience in you, honey.
That's what just came to my mind. I remember when you said that. I was thinking, I don't know if it works
behind
like
the pulpit.
That.
Whenever I said,
sure it don't work.
15 years of men. We'll be married 15 years next week. And I said, and I still can't hit the clothes hamper. And I looked at her in the middle of the sermon and said, I'm just trying to teach you patience, honey. As if eight kids won't do that already, huh?
Y'all go ahead and call in if you want to. It's all right.
Yeah, all complaints go to hannahhayes@gmail.com.
No, I'm just sitting here thinking a comment like that sounds copy and paste something my husband would say. So I think he's been hanging around Pastor Aaron too much.
Yeah. All right. Verse 17 of chapter 1 of Jude.
Chapter 1?
Yep.
Are you sure it's chapter 1?
Hey, I have to. It's the way I got to say it. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ that said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. We briefly hit on this yesterday, but we're going to cover it more in depth. This is very similar to actually where I ended up going Sunday morning, 2 Peter chapter 3. And I had no plans to do that until Miss Crystal got up there and said, it's time to not go asleep. Mm-hmm. And I just immediately, Holy Spirit just said that. And the Lord did do some really awesome things Sunday morning. There are some testimonies that's not mine to share, but he moved dramatically after service in at least one person's life, just dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And so it was more after service.
Together.
It was amazing what God did. But even Jude is remembering us, I mean, getting us to remember, like, stick to the prediction, stick to the prophecy, stick to what Jesus has said, like what he has prophesied, what he has declared. Don't leave them. Don't leave the apostles' teaching. Don't leave the apostles' doctrine. Don't do it, because how quick is it? How quick are we to do this? We're not talking like 2,000 years later. We're talking Peter had to bring this reminder just almost 30 years after the resurrection. Jude's not much far behind him. And so, like, this is like 30 to 50 years after Jesus already ascended, and they're already having to warn people, don't forget the prophecy. Don't forget the predictions. Don't forget what's been said. Like, he's already saying, remember these things. Stir them up. Because we are so quick to be swayed and really, I guess you could say this, like, inundated with all the externals that we become as Zacchaeus, that we're just lost in the crowd. Mm-hmm. And we have to climb the sycamore tree, theoretically and hypothetically, I guess you could say, and remember, see him. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes and hearts on the Word of God. Build a memorial stone. This is why, honestly, like, you know, whatever you got to do, like, if you need to have a testimony wall in your house to what God's done in your
That's
life.
Right.
Put scripture all around you.
That's
I don't care what people think about you. Have scripture all around you. Put it on index cards. Put them in your car. I knew a guy in college. I don't know if it was smart or not, but he had an Isaiah scripture written on an index card, and he would memorize scripture, I guess, but he would have it sitting on his speedometer. He didn't care how fast he was going. He just read the scripture. And so he said, if the officer pulls you over, I don't know, sir. I'm memorizing scripture. Mm-hmm. I don't know how fast I was going. And he did it. He did it right. All the time.
And how bad do you want this?
And that's where
it came from. You know, there's a desperation to know what he said and not forget what he said.
Yeah.
And that we need that again.
Yeah, because how
the scripture says meditate on it day and night. Yeah. That means don't let it leave your mouth.
And how often do we look at our phone while we're driving?
Mm-hmm.
It's no different.
Right. Not supposed to.
Not supposed
Hannah, are you telling on yourself?
I'll be honest. You wouldn't meddle now.
She better plead the fifth.
But have you all seen that video of if we treated our Bibles like our phones?
Right.
I love it. I love it. They're in the car flipping their pages looking, and I love it.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people did on that day, the national Take Your Bible Everywhere You Go Day. How many people did it?
I don't know.
That would be cool to see, like a whole room of people.
You didn't see anything about it, really, did you?
I only said it once or twice. It wasn't like
huge.
Yeah, it could have got bigger. We should do it again.
Next year.
Do it again.
Goal, make it big.
Bring your Bible everywhere. It is these who caused division, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. Now, this is where we kind of stopped yesterday, so everything after this is going to be more new to us. But it is these people who are ungodly and following their own passions and leading us, the scoffers, they're going to cause division.
Yeah.
They're worldly people devoid of the Spirit. These are people within the church.
Mm-hmm.
Jude's, again, dressing the church.
Right.
This is where we have to be able to discern the spirit of this age and the spirit of the Lord. And we have to make sure that we are centered, focused, and full of Holy Ghost, not devoid or void of the Holy Ghost. Like, there's a lot of things that happen in the church that are apparently good, but they're worldly. And we're trying to bring worldly systems into a godly godly organism, and it never works. One's going to tug. You can't serve mammon and God at the same time. That's not just money.
Right.
I mean, mammon was a false god. It was a god of greed. It was a god of all these things, but it was a false god. And he says you can't serve both. Like, you can't serve money. You can't serve the world. You can't serve the spirit of this age and the Holy Spirit at the same time. You're going to have to follow one. And one of the most dangerous things for the church in America, and we've seen where this is inundated and caused great distress and caused great trouble to the church, is we've tried to create godly
results.
Thank you, Miss Karen. I was thinking of that. I was trying to spit it out. Godly results with worldly methods, mm-hmm. and it never works.
New wine and old wineskin.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we try right there should tell you this is a work of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that we don't let the Word of God do what the Holy Spirit will do with the Word of God. We don't mm-hmm. let it stand on its own merit. We don't just give the unadulterated Word of God and let it, the preaching of the gospel, let the preaching of the Word change lives. Let the entrance of His Word bring light. Let the people who are receiving and come hungry for Him, that let it do its work.
Right.
It will stand
right.
on its own.
That's right.
But we try to figure out a way to make everybody feel good, to make everybody comfortable,
to make
everybody come. Mm. We're having a big event at our church. Come on, right?
Mm. Can I say something real quick
please.
Into that? So on Sunday, you know, I was already feeling before Pastor Aaron switched gears with, like, salvation and stuff, like, that there were people who needed to respond or receive, you know. And I just kept thinking in my own carnal way, like, why are people not coming up here? And that happens time to time. Mm-hmm. But, like, my carnal mind always wants to think it has to look a certain way. Like, people need to come up to the altar because that's how it happened for me.
Right.
Like, I've personally encountered God at the altar. But it's not going to happen that way for everybody. And I feel like the Lord was reminding me, like, you know, pray that they wouldn't let go of the seed when they leave here. Because it's not about just what happens here, you know. Pray that, you know, the enemy or their own self might be able to keep them from getting to the altar, but they can't keep them from getting to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And there's a difference, you know.
And they could turn around and come to the altar next week.
Exactly. It's not about
there is a result.
It's not always about what we think it's going to be, but it's about the internal change.
Right.
And then there will be a confession. They will come up and give their testimony whenever it hits deep.
Because how many have we seen that go to the altar and
never got it?
Yeah,
never.
No.
But, you know, some that are in the audience, like what happened Sunday morning after service, they privately went and prayerfully are delivered and get, you know, are healed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we do need, the Lord says, well, I don't, is there a scripture about going to the altar? I can't think right now.
There's people who argue with you that there is no altar in the
right, that's
altar
what I was
calls.
Trying to think.
Right.
That's why I was like, is there even, anyway, I'll be looking
I'm
at
I'm
going
to disagree.
Book. Yeah, but I'm just saying, no, I'm not saying you don't need an altar. I've been on the altar. I think we should. It's a reverence. It's a place to run to, come running to the altar, you know. I think it's so important. But it's not the altar. It's where God meets you. That's the altar.
Makes me think of when they crossed the river and they kept building memorials.
Build that rock.
Yeah, put a rock stuff. Put a monument right here.
Stuff. Uh-huh. That goes back to what he was saying in the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to forget this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to forget this day that the Lord spoke to me.
Right.
I will not forget what he said to me. Mm-hmm. Some way, some form, I will put it in remembrance forever.
And you will come back to it.
And one of the ways I do it is talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I tell you today, I tell you tomorrow, I'll tell you the next day for a year, I'm going to tell you what the Lord said to me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and that's a lot of times it gets so down on the inside of me, it becomes so much a part of my life.
Mm-hmm. That's what makes that part that says, and to this day it still stands.
And to this day.
That's how that happens, because you speak of it and you remember it and you go back to it. It's still so relevant in your life today.
Go get a big rock.
Yeah.
That's right.
I can't wait to see them all.
There.
Really, if you think about what this is this is your shepherd's staff.
Right.
Because on the shepherd's staff, the shepherd would mark marks on his staff. And it would be memorials basically memorial marks. And so David would have had on his staff the time he fought a bear, mm-hmm. fought a lion. Mm-hmm. And he would have had it on his mark, probably significant things. And what did he take to battle with them? His staff. Mm-hmm. He took his history. He took his testimony.
Right. Spoke his history, too. Mm-hmm. Spoke.
There is a scripture in Psalms 43, but there's many scriptures. But it says, "Then I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God." So, I mean, it doesn't say come to the altar, but it just says there is a reverence. Like you said, there's a marking and a humbling and a running to the altar.
Yeah. I think the altar for me is a place where we lay ourselves upon. Mm-hmm. Like take, you know, and that altar don't have to necessarily be in the church. That altar could be at your house. That altar could be where you're willing to lay it down, just get right with
God. Where you meet God, right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you meet
And there's
him.
Many scriptures that say they built an altar, mm-hmm. they had an altar, you know,
Absolutely.
All this. Mm-hmm. So there's altars all through the Bible, but I don't know that there's a scripture that says, when you go to the altar, that's when it's going to happen.
In the New
but
Testament,
I think there,
Jesus used it for an example.
Right.
He said, when you take your gift
to the altar.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, obviously, in Jesus' mind, there was such a thing.
That's right. It's mm-hmm. a meeting place with
And what is the gift? Us as a living sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, their altar was the place of sacrifice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's where they sacrifice.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a point to where, like, the altar place in a church, I think, is significant to give people an opportunity to meet with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we've made it like that's the only place you can. So like what Hannah was saying, you can get right with God when you're not there. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have to be in a church at an altar. You can make an altar anywhere because an altar is just a place you're meeting with the Lord.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's
you're
right.
meeting with the Lord. And, you know, Spurgeon, I think it was Spurgeon. Spurgeon was a young guy, and but he would preach. And basically, I hope this was Spurgeon. I had to check myself, but I'm 90% sure. He would preach, but he wouldn't let anybody respond on Sunday. Mm. He would never let anybody respond on Sunday. He would say, if the message of the gospel is burning your heart, it will still be burning on Monday morning.
Mm, wow. Mm.
And he said, come, you're going to come, like, if you want to receive from this message, then you just come to my office tomorrow, and I'm going to pray and minister to each one of you.
Well, I see what he's doing, but I'm going to probably disagree with him.
But you know what happened every Monday? He had lines around the building.
Lines in his office, but the Bible says today is the day.
And so, but I think you have to, I'm not saying I'm going to do that, but I think it did start to, there's so many times people have emotional encounters.
That's true. Yeah.
And it was like, this thing's got to burn real. And I mean, you know, and we've, I never want to negate somebody's encounter, but we have to push it farther than emotion. Like that's emotion is something that's God-given, and I've said this a lot behind pulpits. Emotion is a good friend, but it's a really poor master.
Right.
Like you are not mastered by your emotions. Your emotions are only there to serve you mm-hmm. and to help you. And I think in a modern day church, we stimulate people's emotions and they respond, but yet they're not being changed. They raise their hand for a decision, but there's not a transformation because they got the goosebumps, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. I think if you could, one of my greatest prayers, I think we could pray for the American church is, Lord, take away the goosebumps and give us the true presence. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying your hair never stands up or you never get the goosebumps, but I think we've substituted. And honestly, I mean, there's bands that can give you goosebumps. Michael Jackson concerts, I never went to one, but they said people would fall out.
Yeah.
Like they would fall out just like we see people fall out in the church. There would be people act crazy, and because music has the ability to stimulate emotion.
Right.
And I think to an extent we've learned that in the church, and we know how to hit the beat, and we know how to climb, and we know how to do this, and we can stimulate emotion, and we can do all these. And that's why for me some of the most beautiful times of raw worship is when the music is kind of hushed and it's just vocally a cappella and the whole church is just singing together. I'm not saying that has to be
did it last night.
Yeah.
Nothing but the blood.
You know, and that can't happen all the time. Like that shouldn't happen all the time. Like music is a gift from God as well. But I think in the church we've learned to manipulate emotion, and I think that's what Spurgeon, because he was living during a time that emotion was very much being manipulated. We think it's a new thing. It's not. It's very much always been, and Spurgeon was like, we've got to do something to avoid these. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean anything bad, because I think some kids really do. we could call it like your youth group push. Like sometimes you get in a group of young people, and then before you know it, every young person is crying. Right. And half of them don't even know why they're crying, but they're crying mm-hmm. because of emotion. They're seeing their friend.
Yeah, they're sympathizing.
And I think we have to figure out how to push it past that. Mm-hmm. Never take away emotion, because I think emotions
you
are...
You can't
it's
take
a
away
gift
emotion.
From God. It's a gift from God.
Yeah, it's going to be in the mix.
But that emotions can't be the definer of your encounter. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, there's times that I've cried and there's times that I've wept. And there's times I've done nothing, and I don't think one encounter is greater than the other. I think our emotions respond differently at times. But
I think you really do see this play out with kids and teens. And it's not to speak bad of them, but you see the ones that are crying at the altar, but then nothing in their life is changing. Mm-hmm. Like they're not seeking after the Lord. It was just, they just keep going back. But it's not just kids. It's just the reason why we can see it in kids is because they're under our care. We're with them a lot. We're seeing that parents are seeing it because you're, the covering over them. But it happens with people too. It happens with all kinds of, every age. Anyone who, is seeking that encounter but not willing to walk with the Lord.
Now, let me say this. I'm going to push a little farther because I never want anybody, because I will say this at the flip side, nothing burns me up more than whenever somebody becomes critical of this. Mm-hmm. I want to be aware that it could be emotions, but I don't want to become critical. Yeah. I want to treat every tear on that altar as if it's a true encounter and start pushing them into discipleship.
Absolutely. And just because they're having emotion doesn't mean that there's not a true encounter going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Hebrews 5 is one of my favorite, and it says strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Mm-hmm. That is a grown, learned experience that mm-hmm. happens. Mm-hmm. We, in those moments, we just need to grow, teach.
Teach.
We need to be there for them and help them move on to the next place, realizing that what just happened is so much deeper than the fact that tomorrow you will not be crying.
Yeah.
But it's still there because it was the Spirit of God moving mm-hmm. on your life. We don't teach.
Yeah, that's right. And no way do I think Hannah's being critical. I know Hannah's heart. She's not being critical on that. I
want them to keep coming.
I know. Amen. I mean, I told them like this. People. I've had a lot of criticism over the last 4 years for letting little kids have flags up front. It's just, I said, I would rather them be up there with a flag,
amen.
Even if they're playing around, than back on their phone making duck faces
amen.
On Snapchat.
They run to it.
And so I said, I'll fight for it.
Look,
I said,
I'm still this person today, and I'm 70 years old. If you say Jesus, I'm probably going to get excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just that person. When there's things that the Lord has done in our life, and all my emotions are going to get all involved, but it's still going to be there when my emotions have calmed down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's what we got to teach the kids.
Yes.
And that's what we got to teach other people. Like, the encounter's great, and the emotion is your best friend, but then we need to put them a pad on their front and hit them from behind to push them forward. We just got to hit them from behind. And
I just heard what you said.
I was lingering genies, and then I didn't realize what you said.
Because I never want, I want the emotion. Like, I love the emotion. I love the emotion. But somehow we think once the emotion comes, it's finished.
Mm.
The emotion's just the doorway. It's just a response to what's going on in the heart. And sometimes it is. Like, sometimes the teenager is crying because the other teenager's crying.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have that. I'm not going to be critical of it. I'm aware of it. But now we need to go up to that person and be like, man, I see, like, the Lord, was he really touching your life? What was going on? Let them talk for a minute. And as they talk, then start to compel them forward. Like, all right, so what are you feeling? What's going on? Never be afraid of those conversations. Like, I do these conversations with young people especially, and new converts. Like, the Lord's touching your
and
heart.
Old
the Lord's
people.
Older. I wasn't going to say old people because people get mad at me.
Seasoned
youth. And so I'm sitting here going, what are you feeling? Like, why? What's
it's
going on?
It's a ministry moment.
What's going on in your heart? Like, what can we pray for? And it's like, how can we move forward? What's the next step? And it's like, I remember one service one time, and I'll hush after this because I don't want to dominate your all's time.
It's your time.
But
it's our time.
But it's Tuesday's my half day off. We got representative. We do have Representative Josh Calloway coming in at 8:32. So I want to give you all plenty of time. But I was remembering a service one time, and it was when I was young, about 18 or 19, and nobody meant anything bad by it. But it was like this young person that was with me. He was wanting more of the Lord. I mean, he grew up in a different denomination that did not believe in the Holy Ghost, really, didn't believe in the gift of tongues, didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And, of course, we did. We were Pentecostal. I still do. Hallelujah. Yeah. I brought some more theological correction to some of it, but I still 100% behind it.
Absolutely.
Like, 100%. Like, maybe not exactly how I was raised, but 100%. And but I remember he was at the altar. And he was just lifting his hand. He was so hungry. And they were just like, come on, just start coming, just start speaking. And it was like, this went on for about 30 minutes. People were hitting him in the throat. People were like, come on. And finally, I think he just kind of babbled something. And they were like, you got it. And then everybody just went and sit down. I'm like, I think that moment showed me something. Mm-hmm. Because, and it's not to say like, we should seek to have a prayer language, 100%. We should be. But it was like for them, it was just, I just need a couple of muttering words, and then we've arrived. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid that's where we live, encounter to encounter, instead of discipleship and maturity and consistency. It was never like, you know, now you've got this spiritual gift. Now here's how to use it. Here's what to do with it. Here's what's profitable in your own heart. Like, now how can we walk with you? It was just like, I mean, this guy got beat up. And he finally, I think he just honestly said, it felt to me like he just kind of mumbled a couple words. And then everybody left him and sat down.
Made a false confession.
It was, and it wasn't, I didn't blame the guy. Like, mm-hmm. It was, and I think that's where we can get really off base with this encounter or this thing, is like, we're not producing true disciples, because every encounter should just propel us forward.
I was going to say, it should have never been the end of it.
No, right. It was just like, oh, we won. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Let's sit down. And it's, and I think sometimes that was like, that was the pinnacle. I'm like, you know, once you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, that's the pinnacle of your faith, and you've arrived. Yep. And I'm like, no, that's just the start.
Well, the same thing in other denominations. You know, you talk about in the Pentecostal realm, that was everything. You getting baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. Once that's done, more likely nobody was going to try to train you any further.
Mm-hmm.
Same way in the other denominations, is that once you were saved and baptized,
right,
good to go.
Right.
Yeah. And left them with so lacking what needed to happen next. And we're still reaping the results of that.
In my personal life, I had an experience with a certain church. And yes, it was in Louisiana.
It's a bad church.
There's a lot of good things in Louisiana, by the way. Anyway.
Was it on a boat? No.
No, it was not. A P-row, maybe, but not a boat. Anyway. And I was asked in this certain church, do you want more of Jesus? Mm. And I was probably 15. I think it was when I was about 15. And I said, yeah. So they took me by the hand and said, let's go to the altar. And I said, okay. And there's people all around me, you know, and it's a very emotional thing going on. And they literally took me by both hands and began to shake me. No explanation about what was going on. You know, and a reason, and please don't think we're being critical about the Holy Spirit, because I have the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. I believe in the care, whatever you call it, full gospel care. I love the Spirit of God. I love to flow in the Spirit. But my experience was that, and they kept on, and I began to cry because I got scared. And then they kept telling me, say Jesus, say Jesus, say Jesus. So I said it, and they said, she's got it. And they all began to scream and carry on. Mm-hmm. I look back looking for my brother who had ran with a girl up on the balcony. Anyway, he's the one that brought me there with his friend. Anyway, he
and
leaves
then left
me.
You, huh?
And so then they're like, she's got it. And they all left me. So I went back to my seat. And I'm saying what it did, because there was no explanation and no discipleship.
Continuing, yes.
I ran from that like it was, you know, and I went home, and my parents were not saved yet. They were in a denomination, but anyway, let's just leave that alone. And so my daddy told me, and I told him what happened. He said, you stay away from there. Mm-hmm. Now, that's when I was 15 or so. The next year, my parents go and get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, guess who rebels? Because, one, number one, daddy told me to stay away from it. And I had no discipleship after to even explain what was being. I probably would have received because I loved Jesus and I wanted more of Jesus. But because of that, I ran from it probably for another 10 years. And then one day I fell in love with Jesus and it happened for me. So it's real important that we, when you know, it's not just like you said, you know, and I don't know why we're on the altar here, but it's something that maybe needs to be said. Just because someone goes, you know, doesn't mean that either it did or did not happen for them. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it was, I wanted more, but nobody told me how to get it or what was going to happen. You know,
they showed you didn't.
Right. They showed me and it didn't happen. So we need to be careful.
No, kin to the chiropractor, right?
Yeah. That's right. So now I have fear of the chiropractor. I have fear of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, my God.
You gotta have this.
Y'all see why my back is not aligned right, right?
Anyway. Come on, everybody, just stretch your hand.
I have wounds. I have wounds. No, I'm kidding. I need to stop saying that. But I'm just saying it's so important to introduce someone to Jesus, to talk to them, bring them down to the altar. Yes, please bring them to the if they run to the altar, encourage them to run to the altar. But in that experience, first let God do what he's going to do, but don't leave them there.
That's right.
Get with them. Begin to talk with them. Have follow-up. Have someone following up with them to explain the experience that they just went through. And then it'll last. Then it'll stay with you.
Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I do as well is no matter where they're at, one of the first things I ask them on Monday is where are you growing in the Word at?
Right.
Where are you at? Who are you in Bible study with?
Right.
And then I encourage them to come to whatever discipleship classes we have or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, get around somebody who knows more than you.
Right.
Who's going to be able to show you things in the Word, answer questions for you, and start your journey in the Word of God. It has to.
And that's the way the Lord designed it to be. That's His way, His organization, that the church would work under that umbrella, that the old would teach the young. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about age.
Yeah, right. The mature.
Physical age, but the mature Christian would teach the young because they got there somehow.
Right. And they studied to show themselves approved.
Right.
You know?
They have to be taught.
But, you know, I heard something. This was Larry Stockstill. I don't know if you know about him. He was Louisiana. Anyway, I hate to even say it.
There's
he's got a huge ministry. You would know him. I think it's Bethel, but it's not the Bethel you're thinking about. It's another. Bethany. That's it. Bethany Church. Anyway, long story short, they had a ministry of cell groups where, you know, all of it was life groups as we know it today. But their saying was, during the week are our cell groups and that's where the church is. And on Sunday, we come to celebrate. And we receive a word. We receive worship. We're celebrating what we've been learning all week. We're celebrating what we've been experiencing and pouring out into all week. Mm-hmm. And that's what the church on Sunday should be about,
should
the celebration
be.
About what we did all week.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times it's not because people that come on Sunday, and they're not coming any other time.
Right.
They're not involved in any groups or any Bible study or anything like that. So they're not growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And they come in on Sunday ready to be healed and recovered from their week.
Right.
And we'd spend time ministering mostly on Sunday because they don't come any other time.
Right. Exactly.
And that's got to change.
Yeah.
That's got to change. We got to raise that bar.
I think it's going to have to change in what we're about to be facing in the future days. You know?
And I think the closer we get to doing it the way God has said it to be, ordained it to be, the more we will see that celebration happening on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, what you're saying there is true. People don't come during the week. They show up on Sunday for what they need.
What they need. That's
and
right.
I think if there was a celebration, that's going to look different to them.
Right.
That's going to look different. That's that place of not being left behind, but being follow me as
Look what happened for me.
Right.
And it can happen for you if you get in there. Come Monday, come Tuesday, come Wednesday, come Thursday, you know. And now not, you don't, I guess you could go every night, but I'm just saying get somewhere during the week. That's why midweek services began to happen, because they needed it more than just Sunday morning or Sunday night, whatever. You needed that in between too. You know, you needed on Monday night meetings and Tuesday night and Thursday night Bible studies and whatever else is going on. And those Sunday, when we all get there, everybody's ready to celebrate, because all week we've been doing stuff.
See, this is what's happened, though, is a lot of, and you know, I love the pastors, but their heart's for the people.
Right.
And they're trying to figure out how to keep them there.
Right.
How to keep them coming, and how to even draw in the first crowd.
Right.
And so all the focus is on the people.
Right.
That they think need the Lord, and they do, instead of what he told us to gather together for. What he tell us to get? He told us to rejoice that you've been counted worthy to suffer for his name.
That's right.
Or rejoice of, look what the Lord has done.
Right.
Right? And we don't do the celebrations. We don't bring up the fact that God moved this week.
That's right.
And we saw it. You know, we don't.
Well, that's one of the dangers of the philosophy of church shopping, and is that we make the congregation the patron. And that we're trying to treat them as the customer.
Right.
And so we're trying to create customer satisfaction. And we are always appeasing, because we need the tithe check, because we got ourselves bound to a system of Babylon and trust more in the dollar than we do the hand of the Lord.
Yeah.
And we're not kingdom thinking. And so we are always trying to circulate, making sure that we have income coming in, make sure that we have people there, make sure we have tithe checks there, because we really don't believe the scripture, he has a cattle on 1,000 hills. We believe in the providence of man hand instead of the providence of God. And we're always trying to get them coming back. And if somebody threatens to leave, I mean, I've had it. Like, I've had people call me and say, you know, how dare you do this without my consent? I'm one of your highest tithers. And I said, well, you can take your tithe and go down there, because I'm not going to be manipulated.
That's right.
I mean, it's just, it's foolishness. Like, but yet when we get ourselves into bondage and we get ourselves into the system of Babylon in the church, what else do we have? Because we built bigger buildings than we've ever needed. We've had budgets that we never should have had. We're trying to do things we've never been equipped to do or even called to do. It's just good to do. And just because it's good don't mean it's godly the sense of human terms. Like, you know, and so I think this is where the church has to check herself before she completely wrecks herself. And it's saying that we don't need your money, because we have the Lord, and if the Lord's called us, he gives the provision.
That's right. He will provide.
Yeah, because we've somehow made this a money-making machine. And the church has. I mean, like, the church is. Like, if you can make a lot of money in the church. And people realize that. And then it gets to the heart and now we're pleasing people. We're pleasing people. And it's not about the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not about transformational power in our life. It's not about the Word of God. It's about, well, how good's your children's ministry?
Yeah.
How good is it's almost like, back in the 70s and 80s, how good is your social club? How good is the country club? Where are you at? What benefits are you going to give me? If I come to your church, what benefits do I get?
Yeah, what do I get?
And if the money comes in, and it will, when the money comes in, then the church, the head of it, then we begin to figure out ways to use it to... The seeking of the Lord don't happen, and the freedom to give it away is not there.
Right,
the freedom to give into somebody else's ministry. Mm-hmm. No, we'll try to hang on to it just for us, whatever.
Right, right.
And we're not led by the Lord with the monies. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to grip it, I guess. Right. And you know, unless the Lord builds the house,
right,
exactly.
We
read that, we can quote that, but do we understand that it's true?
Yeah.
Unless he's building this house,
that's right.
You'll labor all day long, but it will not be what he meant for it to
be.
That's
right.
It will not. Right. If you're not willing to hold a candle, and sit in the back shed with no electricity. Mm-hmm. And worship him.
Right.
If you can't go down that far, then you're probably building your own empire.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a word that came out last week when we were on the road. I talked to you a little bit about it, but the word when you all were talking about closing out the book of Ruth, and you know, Hannah brought up this word, and it was the word glean, and that word's been with me the whole time. And you know, as I'm sitting here today, and you know, I thought about that word. You know, that's one of those God words that, you know, you have a chance to say it in a sentence. Mm-hmm. I'm going to glean from this field. I'm going to glean. You know, it's one of those words. But, you know, that's a word of harvest. That word glean mm-hmm. is a word of harvest. Mm-hmm. It's bringing something in. And, you know, we've been talking about celebrating on Sunday, you know, and I'm sitting here going, you know, well, maybe the field I'm supposed to be gleaning in is not that of my kinsman, Redeemer, Boaz, but maybe it's that field out there that I harvest from to bring them in, mm-hmm. to bring the reaping, the harvest that has been reaped from gleaning out in the field of testifying of the Lord, of witnessing unto the people, to go be at Walmart and declare his name to someone. Maybe that's the field that I'm supposed to be gleaning from in order to bring the harvest into the house. So on Sunday, we do have a celebration of that which was done in the name of the Lord the past week. Maybe I'm sensing that there's a real, even more of a closed off place than I realized in the church today. It's out there. Mm-hmm. It's out there. The fields that are ripe for harvest are out there.
That's right.
And those are the fields of harvest that I'm supposed to be gleaning from to bring them in. Mm-hmm.
I think this is a good moment for me to share what the Lord showed me about where we are in. And, you know, this is a time. This surely is, the world is nuts, and there's all kinds of stuff going on, and we're all talking about the stuff going on. Look, the Lord's moving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he will not be outdone here. He is moving as sure as we know him. And as I was looking back over my week, not looking at everything that went wrong this week, mm-hmm. but I was looking back over my week, everything that's been going right.
That's right.
Oh my goodness, y'all! I mean, in my Bible studies, in worship, there's been in my personal life at home.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's been moving.
Amen.
In a way that's different. It's like it's an increase. There's mm-hmm. been an increase mm-hmm. of His anointing, and mm-hmm. As I was pondering it, and I was looking at it, and I was like, "Wow, Lord! I mean, I know that I personally do not have the ability to cause anybody to change.
That's right.
I don't have that ability, but yet I'm watching it happen right before my eyes.
That's right.
And so as I was meditating on that, the Lord gave me a sense. I'm going to say a sense. It wasn't necessarily He spoke it, but He gave me such a strong sense that I was able to put it in a sentence. And He said, whatever is in your heart's desire,
mm-hmm.
put your hand to it now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, when He said that to me, I was like, I mean, every part, now my emotions are all messed up right now.
Mm-hmm.
See, the goosebumps are flying on me right now because of what I know.
That's right.
And so I started doing that. I mm-hmm. started moving in a more definite way because I understood what He was saying to me. Go now, because the anointing's going to mm-hmm. be on mm-hmm. you to do it.
That's right.
Man. It changed me.
That's
it changed
speaking
me.
Speaking to me, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So go. I don't know who's hearing it, but whatever it's been, you've been always dreaming of.
That's right.
Always in your heart about what the Lord would have you do. Go put your hand to it. Mm-hmm. The anointing
Take a step.
Is
That's
there.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Take a step.
That's right.
Amen.
Go
then,
in that.
Then you'll come back to your church and celebrate.
That's exactly right. We'll have so much to talk
That's
about.
Right.
We won't have anything else.
You won't even really have a church service. You'll have a testimony day.
I think that is the right way.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it like I've never seen it before.
Well,
I think it's the right thing. You bring the harvest into the house.
That's right. And then everybody celebrates about
what the Lord has done.
How you brought
done.
Him in, what
mm-hmm.
you did.
Right.
I know we had a testimony a couple of weeks ago with, I think it was Dalton Taylor, that what was his testimony? Was it prison?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was in the prison ministry.
Yeah, and somebody had got set free and saved.
A young Islamic boy.
Yes, I wanted to say Muslim, but I wasn't sure how to say it.
Yeah, he got born again.
Yeah.
Wow,
so,
that's
ministry.
Awesome.
Yeah, and
that's
so what
awesome.
Did that do
that's
to people?
Right.
You know, we all did.
That's right.
We were all clapping, you know, and so we love to hear
that's right.
the testimonies about what God did. You know, not that we don't need word. We do need word. We do need praise and worship. But the praise and worship should be celebrating the fact that all week, we've been doing the work
of
the Lord.
That's right.
Just like what she just said there, you know, we come to church to be edified, to be built up, to be encouraged, to be. And what she just said right there, you know, what's on your heart to do today,
right.
go. The right. anointing is there. That's part of that celebration.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the part of, and if we will walk and believe in that,
yeah.
holding on to that with everything we got, my trust is in the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. right.
This will be your new favorite song.
Yeah.
Look what the Lord mm-hmm. has done.
That's one of my, that is one of my favorite songs.
Well, we're going to have to finish that song after the break here.
We're doing so well.
I know it.
And the song.
We're just getting started.
Well, hallelujah. What trade did Demetrius practice in Ephesus? What trade did Demetrius practice in Ephesus? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after a short break here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Whoa, look what the Lord yeah. has done. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Woo!
Hallelujah. What a day. Look what the Lord has done.
Amen.
We had some jumping and shouting and dancing. Miss Jeannie was going to make herself some coffee, and she went dancing down the hallway. It was look what the Lord has done.
I was doing some, Crystal and I are doing some screaming in here.
Karen, yeah. Karen gave us a soulish little scream
yeah.
she had out there going on.
She got some soul in her, don't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, I do. All the way from Kentucky.
From Breckenridge County,
it's a bluegrass.
She said, I felt some Louisiana in that.
You know what they say about McQuaidy?
Had a Cajun kick to it. Had a Cajun kick to that. But it was, look what the Lord has done.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
He'll do it all.
Mm-hmm.
He does it all.
He will. And Amen. That's what church should be right there, mm-hmm. is celebrating mm-hmm. the goodness of the Lord. And also, like I said, the word, the praise and worship, that is like pretty much understood, but not... I mean, but giving place to the fact that what did God do all week?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I really think people need to hear that. And we need to be responsible and accountable to the right. fact that what are we doing? It's right. not just up to the pastor. It's up to what am I doing? What is Karen doing? What are you doing right. out there in, as a listener?
Right.
As far as, you know, have we told somebody in Walmart? Have we told somebody, you know, when Todd and I went to Wyoming, we asked this guy, and I told the testimony on here about, can we pray with you? And you know, his brother had died, and he was devastated. We prayed with him and in several other circumstances, and we want to do that more and more, you know. But as we get caught up, like Hannah and I were just talking about another situation, we forgot about something, both her and I, and we forgot because we were so busy. But it wasn't, I mean, some of it was the Father's business, of course, but we had a lot going on this mm-hmm. week. And so those things slip your mind, but they should be priority. What we forgot should have been priority.
Right.
And so we've all got to humble ourselves and repent and say, God, what's today about? Today is Tuesday, October 28th, 2025. It's never coming again. And God, I need to know who's out there. Where's my divine appointment? What do I do today,
and,
God?
And see, that's the part that I think the resistance to it, it's a hard thing to start.
Right.
It's one of those things that's a hard thing to start, and I think that's why we don't see it. And I think over the years, churches have made it okay for it not to be that mm-hmm. way.
Yeah.
You know, bring your lost person to the church and
right.
to be saved, mm-hmm. when all the time we've got it backwards. We're
right.
supposed to be out there bringing them
right.
in.
Right.
And
I think there are two sides to it, because when we bring them in, we do need to have a safe place. We do need to have something for the young people and all, but it's not just the church's responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
it's my responsibility.
Exactly.
It's my responsibility.
I know Todd's been taking opportunity. You know, he's truck driving now, and he's been taking opportunity everywhere he goes. He'll say, "Can I pray for you?" And he's been turned down a couple of times, but most of them are very receptive. And he'll call me and he'll say, "Hey, pray for so and so." And I'm like, "Who's that?" He's like, "It's somebody I met in Alabama." You know, just mm-hmm. a random name, but we stop right then and we pray. You know, and I mean, I'm convicted. We all need to be asking the Lord, what is today? So that I want a testimony for Sunday. You know,
mm-hmm.
that should be our prayer.
That's right. That's right.
Lord, who can I pray for? Not that I get credit, but that I can say, look what the Lord
has done.
You know, because God is willing. He wants. I mean, that's what he gave. The Great Commission is go out there and minister to my people. Lead them to Jesus. And so that they can all come to heaven with me. That's his goal. That's what God wants. He desires. Unless y'all have something, the scripture I have, it's going to seem a little different, but I was reading, you know, and as we all do, a lot of times we're reading in our scriptures, and you get a cross-reference to go over here and look up something else just to see. And that's how I wound up in the book of Job. And
Job.
And it is going to go with what we're talking about. If you give me just a minute, and we're going to set this thing up. Now, we all know the story of Job. We know that all through the first couple chapters tell about what happened, or the first chapter, I think, tells all about what happened to Job. And it was a devastating thing. Lost his family, lost everything he had. And so he's sitting there. He's got sores all over his body. And these three friends come to help him. And they're pretty much, at first, they try to help. It just turns south. They really just are not doing a good job. And Job is just depressed. He's just down. And in chapter 32, Job 32, we meet a young man named Elihu. Elihu, I don't know how to say his name. From Louisiana, I'm saying Elihu. Elihu. Anyway,
I like it.
And so he's really frustrated in this moment because he's been there. He's been listening to these three guys and Job go back and forth in their conversations. And all the way through 31, from 1 to 31, it goes back and forth and back and forth. And so we wind up in this chapter, and it says, now it's so much to read, but I'm going to try to just skip around a lot, so you may not be able to keep up with me, but I'm going to try my best. So it says, so these three men quit answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. So Job was just like, look, I've done everything right, and God's just not doing things for me. And in verse 2, he says, then Elihu, son of Barachel the Buzite, from the family of Ram, became angry. He was angry at Job because he had justified himself rather than God. He was also angry at Job's three friends because they had failed to refute him and yet had condemned him. Now, Elihu had waited to speak to Job because they were all older than he. But when he saw that the three men could not answer Job, he became angry. So Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite, replied, I am young in years while you are old. Therefore, I was timid and afraid to tell you what I know. I thought that age should speak and maturity should teach wisdom. But it is a spirit in man and the breath of the Almighty that give him understanding.
Yes.
And I think one of the translations says it is the spirit with capital S, but this one, mine happens to say it is. I think King James even says little s. Mm-hmm. It is not only the old who are wise, but the elderly who understand how to judge. Therefore, I say, listen to me. I too will declare what I know. When you started talking about the anointing, watch how this guy's, you'll just see how it comes about. Look, I waited for your conclusions. I listened to all your insights as you sought for words. I paid close attention to you, yet no one proved Job wrong. Nobody's correcting this depression, and nobody's helping this guy out. Y'all just playing along with him. Not one of you refuted his arguments. So do not claim we have found wisdom. Let God deal with him, not man. But Job has not directed his argument to me, and I will not respond to him with your arguments. Jump down to verse 17, because I just want to save as much time.
Right.
Because he just says, should I keep being silent? Yeah, but he says in 17, I too will answer. Yes, I will tell what I know. Look at this. Here's your anointing.
Jeannie.
Oh, my God. I said Karen and Linda. Who's Linda? I don't even know who that is.
Don't you ever call me Linda. Don't you ever.
Greg would agree. Greg in the office would agree.
For I am full of words, and my spirit compels me to speak. My heart is like unvented wine. It's about to burst like new wineskins.
Come on.
I must speak so that I can find relief. I mean, he's so full of the word. This is how we should be all week. God, your spirit, you know, God's love compels me. You know, is what says in the New Testament. I must open my lips and respond. And I will be partial to no one, and I will not give anyone an undeserved title, for I do not know how to give such titles. Otherwise, my Maker would remove me in an instant. Now, I know I'm going on a lot, but just hang on to it a second. He continues to talk this way, and he's continuing to say, you know, I'm going to open my mouth, because and he's like, and I am just like you before God. I was also pinched off from a piece of clay. He's just saying, I'm just like you. Fear of me should not terrify you. You know, he's saying, I'm no greater than you. The pressure I exert against you will be light. And verse 8 of Job 33. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard these very words. I am pure without transgression. Here's Job being all depressed. Mm-hmm. I am clean and have no guilt, but he finds reason to oppose me. He regards me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks. He stands watch over all my paths. And here's Elihu again. But I tell you that you are wrong in this matter. See, here's correction coming.
Right.
Here he's saying, you know, I can't hold my tongue anymore. You know, y'all, we're talking about do what God's telling you to do in the moment. Sometimes it's going out there and just speaking the truth. Just saying, look, it's enough. You know, it's time we step into what God's saying.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. Verse 12. But I tell you that you are wrong in this matter, since God is greater than man. Why do you take him to court for not answering anything a person asks? You know, why do you think God's got to answer you in everything? You know, verse 12, I'm getting to something. For God speaks time and again. I'm in verse 14 of 33, Job. For God speaks time, and some translation says time and time again. But a person may not notice it. In a dream, in a vision in the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber on their beds, he uncovers their ears at that time and terrifies them with warnings in order to turn a person from his actions and suppress his pride. God spares his soul from the pit, his life from crossing the river of death. A person may be disciplined on his bed with pain and constant distress in his bones, so that he detests bread and his soul despises his favorite food. His flesh wastes away to nothing and his unseen bones stick out. He draws near to the pit and his life to the executioners. Now here we go. We're going on the flip side here. If there's an angel on his side, one mediator out of 1,000 to tell a person what is right for him and be gracious to him and say, spare him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Then his flesh will be healthier than in his youth, and he will return to the days of his youthful vigor. He will pray to God, and God will delight in him. That man will see his face with a shout of joy, and God will restore his righteousness to him. Wow. This is us. Because of Jesus, in him, we are mediators in the earth right now. Only because of Jesus. All credit to him. He will look at men and say, I have sinned and perverted what was right, yet I did not get what I deserved. He redeemed my soul from going down to the pit, and I will continue to see the light. There we are talking about discipleship, you know, continue. God certainly does all these things 2 or 3 times to a man in order to turn him back from the pit, so that he may shine with the light of life. And it goes on and on. And then, you know, 34, he's just speaking over and over. And what got me so excited, then in 35, 36, Elihu is going back and forth and back and forth. 37, he's still talking. And in chapter 38, here comes God.
I love that one.
We can't read all this, but here is, you know, Job's just going on and on. Mm-hmm. And here's God saying, hold up. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind, you know, and he says, who is this who obscures or confuses? I don't know what King James says in that.
Darkens
my counsel with ignorant words. What does y'all say? Same thing.
Who is this that darketh the counsel by word without knowledge?
Yep. Amen. Mm-hmm. Get ready to answer me like a man. When I question you, you will inform me. Where were you when I established the earth? Mm-hmm. This brought, I don't know why, I told Todd about this. Man, it just brought me to a place of like, you talk about chiropractor and alignment, it aligned me real quick. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. Uh-huh. Anything that was coming against me, you know I've shifted a little bit here, but what I'm saying is we're talking about God desires for us to go out. It says God gives a man he speaks to him 2 and 3 times to bring him back, giving him warnings, dreams upon his bed. Mm-hmm. And Job still, God's like, and it brought me, it lined me up right here. It's that chiropractor pushing me into the wall right here. Where were you when I established the earth? Mm-hmm. Tell me if you have understanding who fixed its dimensions. Certainly you know. I mean, God's kind of comical.
Yeah,
you
got it all figured out, right?
Who stretched a measuring line across it? What supports its foundation? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Who enclosed the sea behind doors when it burst from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and thick darkness its blankets? When I determined its boundaries and put its bars and doors in place? When I declared, you may come this far, but no farther. Mm-hmm. Your proud waves stop here. Whatever you're going through this morning, mm-hmm. listen to God. He's saying, face me like a man. Come on, get your mindset back. Get your eyes back on me. You know, I've put you in the earth to save souls. Quit worrying about everything around you. Quit worrying about what you're going to do or, oh, my gosh. It like, you know, Martha, you know, that one thing is necessary is to stay in his presence and listen to him.
Yes.
He's saying, have you ever in your life commanded the morning or assigned the dawn its place? I mean, he's pretty much being sarcastic. You ever done this? I mean, who do you think I am? You know, because Job's upset. He's like, I have been so righteous before the Lord. And yet here I'm sitting, and he's still not fixing things for me. And look what's happened to me.
And the Lord's saying, this is what I've done.
That's right.
Look what I've
done.
That's
right. You have you ever set the morning? You know, have you ever done this? And it goes on and on. Jumping to 16. Have you traveled to the sources of the sea or walked in the depths of the oceans? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the extent of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. I mean, I could just.
Really?
It's like it was just hitting me.
I love it.
Where is the road to the home of light? Do you know where darkness lives so you can lead it back to its borders? Are you familiar with the path to its home? Look at verse 22. Have you entered the place where the snow is stored?
Come on.
Or have you seen, have you seen the storehouses of hail, which I hold in reserve for times of trouble? Now, Todd said there's a little controversy in this in the Christian world. I'm not going into that. I don't know anything about it. All I know is I see these big storehouses, and there's hail in it, and God says, boom, let's do it this time. You know, for times of battle, for times of you know, this is our God.
This is not a bad thing. This is him defending
by the way. You know, this is he's not going to strike your house with hail. I'm just saying in times of battle, he's our protector. He's the one's got, you know, because he would do that. He did that in the battle sometimes, that hail came or whatever, you know. For the day of warfare and battle, because it says, which I hold in reserve for times of trouble, for the day of warfare and battle. Jumping down to 28. Does the rain have a father? Whose womb did the ice come from? Who gave birth to the frost of heaven when water becomes hard as stone and the surface of the watery depths is frozen? Can you fasten the chains of the Pleiades, which is constellations and stars, groups of stars, or loosen the belt of Orion? Can you bring out the constellations in their season and lead the bear and her cubs, which is another type of star?
Right.
Do they report to you? Verse 35. Here we are. Do they say, here we are, Crystal? Here's the star speaking. No, they don't. Who put wisdom in the heart or gave the mind understanding? Who has the wisdom to number the clouds? Or who can tilt the water jars of heaven when the dust hardens like cast metal and the clods of dirt stick together? Can you hunt prey for a lioness or satisfy the appetite of young lions? And he just goes on and on. And this should be the celebration on Sunday mornings of who our God is. And we're telling people all week about a good God. Mm-hmm. And God gives us opportunities. As he said back here, God certainly does all these things two or three times to a man order to turn him back from the pit so he may shine with the light of life. Mm-hmm. And that's us. Go ahead, Karen.
Lord,
go on,
Jeannie.
Lord,
wait a minute. We gotta pray first. No, but then you flip over and you go, and Jesus picks right back up with the same thought over in Matthew when he begins to talk about, you can't add anything to your life.
That's right.
What did he say? What you think you couldn't put one hair on there,
exactly.
Right? And then he says, the fowls of the air, look at them. Uh-huh. They don't even work at this because I'm taking care of
them. That's right.
Can you do that? Can you feed yourself? See, he's saying that same God has not changed. I am the Lord, I change not. He's still who he was there. Jesus picks it back up and says, quit worrying.
Amen.
Quit it. Why? You're not gonna make any of this happen.
Right.
None of it.
Right.
Not even your next breath.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Man, yeah, that's right. So, you know, you were saying, I love this. I love the way you put this together, and I love the way it went with what we were saying.
Right.
So, you know, you go out there in public, you go out there and you say, well, I don't know how to do this. I don't know. And you're afraid of it. You know, That's all that Satan really can do is kind of keep you all bottled up in
that's
your
right.
thinking. Because if you go put your hand to it,
that's right.
what you'll find is his anointing. Mm-hmm. What you'll find is his presence.
That's right.
And you will see, look what the Lord
Amen.
Has done. It'll happen
Amen.
For you. It will happen.
This is the God that goes before you and the God that comes
Amen.
Behind
yep.
you. This Amen. Is him. This is the one who walks before you, beside you, and behind
that's
you.
That's right.
That's him.
That's him. Mm-hmm. Chapter 40, verse 1, the Lord answers Job again, because, you know, things are just going, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Mm-hmm. So when I doubt, when I'm in fear, mm-hmm. you know, am I trusting his word? Am I saying, God, you need to do something? God, I don't understand this.
Right.
I mean, am I correcting God and what his word says?
Come
am
on.
I
yeah.
am I saying something different than what
right,
his word
right,
says?
Right, right.
You know? Let him who argues with God give an answer.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
I don't want to do that. But even though I do it sometimes,
yeah.
I really
yeah.
am in my fleshly thinking and my worldly thinking, whatever, I'm doing that. Then Job answered the Lord. He's probably like really humbled at this point. He's saying,
yeah.
he's like, oh my God, I opened up a can of worms here.
Yeah.
I am so insignificant. Almost couldn't get that one out. How can I answer you? This should be our humble state right here.
Right.
King James says, I am vile.
Ooh.
Job says that because
wow.
I am vile.
Yeah.
Sounds like Isaiah.
Yeah. Yeah. Woe
yeah.
is me. Woe
yeah.
is me. I place my hand over my mouth. He's like, I'm just going to shut up now.
Really?
I just ain't going to say another
good
word.
Good idea. Good idea.
I have spoken once and I will not reply twice, but now I can add nothing. There goes back to all the way to Revelation 22, where he said, don't add nothing to these words. We need to stay with the word of God. We need to stay with.
Come on.
Where can I reach somebody today
That's
with
right.
the word of God? Mm-hmm. Where can I go out and let God speak 2 and 3 times to a man
mm-hmm.
to redeem
mm-hmm.
him? Is it through me? Is it on his bed? Where is it, you know, that we're praying?
I got to add
no,
one sentence
go,
right
go,
here.
Please do.
Do you know what he said?
Woo.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
There's the scary
yeah.
part right
That's
there.
That's exactly right.
You're afraid. We are afraid to go and witness, and we're afraid to go and let someone tell us their problem and
That's
say,
right.
well, this is what the Lord said, because we don't know what he
yeah,
said.
Exactly.
That's where
we're
the scary
on
part
ourselves.
Is.
And that's
yeah.
God right there saying, are you going to answer me?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
can you answer me?
Can you answer?
Can we answer him, a person, with the word of God is
yes.
really what it's saying.
It's one of these words to me. It's like, you know, we were talking on the radio the other day that there are words in there are scriptures that God has put in place that stop us in our tracks.
Yeah.
That
right.
that balance you out, that line you up
mm-hmm.
because of
this
the way they're
is.
Said. This one
yeah.
does that, but it also should bring a great assurance of the one who is with
That's
you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wrap it up.
That's
you,
right.
I know we got it.
Well,
this.
He says, get ready to answer me like a man. When I question you, you will inform me. Would you really challenge my justice? Will you declare me guilty to justify yourself? Do you
no,
have an arm
on.
Like God's?
I know.
Can you thunder with a voice like his? And then he goes on and he tells him a few more things. Have you looked at Behemoth? Look at Behemoth. Look at Leviathan. Look at all these things. And then we get to chapter 42. And that's the one we love. Then Job replies to the Lord. Now, he has pretty much been chewed up and spit out by God. Not
yeah.
spit out, but chewed up,
chewed
corrected,
yeah.
realigned. He went to the
yeah.
chiropractor
yeah.
of Jesus
oh,
is what
yeah,
he
that's
did.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And he says, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything.
Everything.
And
now
no
now
plan.
He's where he belongs.
That's right. Now he's realigned. His neck pain's gone.
No.
Everything's good. And no plan of yours can be thwarted.
Thank you, Jesus.
You asked, who is this who conceals my counsel with ignorance? Surely I spoke about things I did not understand.
That's right. That's right.
Things too wonderful for me to know.
Mm-hmm.
Get a line this morning. You said, listen now and I will speak. When I question you, you will inform me. I had heard rumors about you, God. I knew of you. That's it. Going back to that in him
right.
thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know. But now my eyes have seen you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And therefore I take back my words and repent in dust and ashes.
Yeah.
And then the Lord corrects the other three guys and Job is restored. The Lord blessed the last part of Job's life more than the first.
That's right.
And so this morning, whew.
How many times have we heard people refer to the story of Job? And they say, you know, well, I'm just like Job because I have so many troubles, so many things going wrong. But this is the end of Job's life.
That's right.
This was the end of it. What's your end look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because mm-hmm. it was his encounter with the living God
That's right.
that brought him to an outcome
That's right.
that was more than he could ask or mm-hmm. think. So I challenge you, if you think you're like Job,
yeah.
you need to have Job's results.
And it
Amen.
Took, it took that. It yeah. took that encounter
yes.
to bring
and,
him
and
in
that's,
the line.
And that's where we're all at.
That's
we
right.
get realigned by God sometimes. Mm, yeah. I was kind of...
I was realigned today.
Yeah. yeah. I was. This yeah. sat, Todd and I were discussing this Saturday. I got realigned Saturday, and it's just been staying
right.
with me. Of
right.
Did you do this? Hey, get realigned. Know who I am. Know how big your God
yes.
is and what he wants to do in you.
You've forgotten.
And then we got to share this.
right.
We got to share
right.
this with everybody that we come in contact with. And then Job says that, how did he say it? When he corrected himself, surely I spoke about things I did not understand.
Yeah. It sounds like me. Yeah.
Things too wonderful for me to know. Yeah. And those are the things we need to go share about now. My, you know, I heard about rumors about you mm-hmm. of God. Now I'm walking in God.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore I take back my words mm. and repent in dust and ashes.
Yes.
And just, I keep dwelling on the fact, too, that God speaks 2 and 3 times to a man.
Yeah.
God's not going to let...
He's not giving
you know,
up
if,
on them.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He's after them.
Somebody needs to hear us say, he's bigger than you think.
That's right.
You know?
Right.
Somebody needs that word
Go
today.
Read Job in
yeah,
the 30,
yeah.
32 all the way to the end, to 42. Mm-hmm. And it will excite you because God just says, "Did you? Who do you think I am?" You know,
yeah.
he's politely, lovingly yeah. saying, you don't know who I am. I can do wonderful and miraculous things.
Right. And there's times that, you know, I need
That's
to hear it because I need to be reminded
yeah,
of who
yeah,
he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen.
The alignment comes.
Great word. Great reminder. Who do you think you are?
I love it. You're going to answer me
you
like
get
a
that?
Man.
You got that, didn't you, brother?
I got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to be right back here after the break with Representative Josh Calloway right here with us on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right. We are back here on this beautiful day, October 28, 2025. What a day the Lord has made. Great conversation we've been having. Excited for our interview. I do want to say this. Make sure that we are in prayer for those in Jamaica. It looks just like an hour or two before the storm actually hits. And it's of course, a Category 5
Is it
now.
Still 5? Wow.
And the winds have gone up to 180 miles per hour sustained.
Mm-hmm.
And they're calling for 3 feet of rain.
Goodness.
And if you've ever been to a Caribbean island, you know they can't handle that. So this could very well, like, I don't want to say completely wipe Jamaica off the map, but it could level it.
Yeah.
And so pray for the people of Jamaica and that country. So, all right, well, we have with us Representative Josh Calloway here. It's a joy to have you back, brother. Long time no see, and just a joy to have you with us this
yes,
morning.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to come down.
Yeah. It was an honor to have you out to our chili cook-off Saturday night, and it was a lot of fun.
A whole lot of fun. We always enjoy coming. It's always good food and good fellowship. So aside from it being a fundraiser, just the fellowship and being around God's people,
mm-hmm.
it's a great opportunity.
It's always an opportunity. It's always a great one to be with God's people.
And you can be honest, you were bidding against people. No, I'm just kidding.
True. But I always look to see who I'm bidding against because Tim can tell you sometimes that can not work out
yeah,
so
exactly.
good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, if you see Tim bid on an item, you ever just want to run it up
run
a little
it
bit?
Up. I
yeah.
run it up every time. That's why I sat behind him the other
yeah.
night.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
for a good cause.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Amen.
Well, I know you have a busy season right now for you, but you all are just a couple of months away from session.
Yes,
and
sir.
And so what's some heated things coming into the next session that you know is behind the scenes?
Well, just a little bit of information for people that don't know. On even years, that is when we do our budget. So we do mm-hmm. a biennial budget. And so that's going to take up a lot of the bandwidth for this session coming in to 26. We have 60 days of session on even years and 30 days on uneven or odd years. And so we've been actually putting together budget requests and working on trying to get that done. Used to... What would happen is we would come into session, the governor would release his budget, and then the legislature would take that budget and take it apart and work on it in both chambers. Now we release a budget to him, and then he releases his budget, and then we kind of come together where we can and to get that budget out in front of the people, usually within the first couple weeks of session. And then usually about 11:45 p.m. on the last day of session before the veto period, we'll see the final version of it. So that's kind of how that works.
Last minute adjustments, huh? Or just last minute submission. That's how I was with homework in high school.
There you go.
The last
we do it every year to ourselves. So
yeah, and I know now this year you all – I did see where we're not going to be able to decrease the tax rate this coming year. Is that correct? So
that's
we just
correct.
Didn't get the revenue from sales tax that we needed for that?
That is correct. So there are triggers set in place that we have to hit, and if we don't hit those triggers, it doesn't lower it. So.
Yeah. Now, is there going to be some adjustments to try to get that trigger hit next time?
There is. This is going to be a very interesting budget. A lot of things have happened over the last couple years that were related to COVID money that was left over in different buckets. And there were some entities across the state that used one-time money to fund ongoing programs. Yeah. And so we're being asked to do a lot of things this time around that there's just no way it can happen because of the fact that COVID money has dried up. And some of us have talked about that since 2020, that this money was not free money. Somebody has to pay it back, which will be our kids and grandkids.
Sure.
And so we've got to look at how we're going to do that. And it's going to be a tight budget year, an extremely tight budget year.
Yeah. Now, what do you think? What do you think is going to come about? I know we're in the midst of a federal shutdown, and now SNAP benefits are going to end for millions of people, on November the 1st. They've already said they're not going to be sent out. What do we do with that? I know there's always people that abuse the system, but then there's people that legitimately need it.
Right.
So, what's that step for them?
Well, right now, I think what we're seeing on a national level is a game of chicken, who can hold straight the longest. And at some point, they have to get the government back open. We have some things at the state level that we've looked at. There are some people that have called and asked the governor to bring us into a special session to look at some options that we might be able to help some of those people. I don't know for sure that he will do that. He typically doesn't like to bring us into a special session without having very tight parameters because he sets the agenda for that. So there's a lot of negotiation that takes place. And I think that at some point really soon, this is going to get very politically scary for one side or the other, and somebody's going to have to give in this situation. It's ridiculous, to be honest, that we're here. Ridiculous that they won't just vote to open the government and figure it out, you know, but that's where we are.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure you're getting that question quite a bit lately.
I get it often. There's some Head Start programs in Hardin County.
Absolutely.
I was hit up about on last night. That is totally out of our jurisdiction. We don't do anything with the funding on that. But people are asking, what are you going to do?
Because that's in danger right now of being defunded. I mean, because of the shutdown. So.
That's correct.
That's what I was fixing to ask. Is all of this because
of the shutdown?
Okay.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
I'd heard about it, but someone had told me Trump did it. That's what I heard.
Well,
so I was like, no. Really? I hadn't heard that. And they're like, I didn't even know that they were doing that yet.
Head Start isn't – Head Start could actually be have no money coming in, and then food stamps. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because this is out of my wheelhouse a little bit. But I think WIC is protected for right now.
That's correct.
WIC is protected for right now. And then, of course, the military, they got paid one paycheck, but they're not sure about the next one.
I think somebody donated money to give them all $100.
Yeah.
So, you know, which is commendable that we have people out there like that. But we have to figure this thing out. And I think that the Trump administration can take advantage of cutting some things that we do not need,
sure,
and shore up things that are important while we're at this, and then get the government back open and continue to decrease our debt. That where we are at right now, really as a country, when I think about one of the largest issues that we face, is I think we just crossed over, I think I heard, the $38 trillion mm-hmm. mark. And that is something that if we do not address, we do not fix, it will be one of the demises of our country, mm-hmm. you know, yep. from an economic standpoint. Mm-hmm. And it affects us socially and spiritually yeah. as well.
Trickles down.
Yeah.
That's what happens when everything is free and no accountability to take care of that debt. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I know Trump's working on a situation trying to get it down, but people don't realize, you know, everything's not free. It's going to cost somebody.
That's right.
Right. Somewhere it will come back.
Yeah.
We have several other things, you know, that we'll be looking at as well. I had introduced a bill last session to put the Ten Commandments back into our school system,
mm-hmm.
and I plan to bring that bill back as well. I think it's important that we keep those issues out in front of us. There are some things that, even though we may not be advancing them, if we do not keep the conversation in the public, we lose sight of them completely. And so things like that, we had the bill that we passed last session that stopped Medicaid and Medicare from paying for transgender surgeries. But we still have local and city and county governments that have insurance plans that are state subsidized or state paid, that people are accessing that type of quote unquote care with state funds, and that should not be at all. So mm-hmm. we'll be bringing that bill back as well. We also have some things that we've passed that the governor has just refused to implement. We were supposed to be bringing the Ten Commandments statue back to the Capitol building, mm-hmm. and for whatever reason, he's saying he doesn't have the funds to be able to make some of these things happen from some of the laws that we've passed. And so we're in a little bit of battle with the Attorney General trying to help us there to fix some of those issues.
Yeah. Now, I know another one that you have been tackling, and you've been working with other, I think, let's see here, there's an organization you've been working with, and I'm drawing a blank here. I so apologize. Somebody, Tim's over here ringing. Now, when all the sales tax was done over, there was a law that was kind of miswrote, I guess you could say, that could possibly be used to hit schools, churches.
Yes, sir.
Not just churches. I mean, talking schools, 501c3, mm-hmm. anyone, that sales tax could be applied to certain fundraising events,
right.
and stuff like that. If it was – now, you've worked with help me out the organization. You told me, and I forgot. I'm so sorry. I forgot.
Well, the Family Foundation,
Family Foundation
has worked
yes.
on it. Commonwealth Policy Center
yes,
as well
it.
With Richard Nelson.
I was wanting to say something else. I was like, that's not right. I had a little brain wrinkle right there.
Yeah, John Razor and David Walls and those guys have tried to help lead the charge on it. And we had a bill that was filed last session. Representative Tipton filed that bill. It didn't go anywhere. We were pretty much told it was because it wasn't a budget year and that they wanted to address it in a budget year. We need to make sure that that happens.
Absolutely.
And part of the way that we make sure it happens is if people at the grassroots level let it be known that that is the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
It has been like this for decades. It has, and that it was slipped into a budget bill. And we do have some people on the Republican side that do not want to change that particular law. And so we just need to make sure they hear from people out here and know that that is the expectation, that we change that law and fix that issue.
Yeah, because it's not – this wouldn't be just churches. This could be schools. This could be any 501c3 or C4 mm-hmm. that is a tax-exempt organization. They could be forced to.
And that's been some of the argument against it, against fixing it, was because it does apply to other 501c3s. So they've said, well, we don't want to just carve out churches, because what about charitable groups that do faith-based work or whatever? And then the other argument is, well, if you exempt all of them, then you exempt Planned Parenthood and people of that nature as well. There's a way to do it. I think the best way to do it is just exempt all of them and be done with it. Mm-hmm. And that way, people that are truly out here trying to help people, they can take advantage of that. But you guys work in ministry, and you are a not-for-profit organization. And most of the time, these types of ministries operate very tight, because they are trying to use every penny that they have to get the gospel out and to help people. Mm-hmm. And churches that are doing mission outreach, bringing people in for dinners and spending more than they bring in on the tickets, yet being required or told that they need to pay taxes on those ticket sales. Mm-hmm. And so it's absurd that it ever happened. It should have never happened. We've got to make sure that we fix it.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know that there's been a lot of good changes in Kentucky, a lot more that we're all hoping to see, and I know you all are working really hard in that. Where are some long-term things that you would like to see Kentucky go? Not just the immediate session, but where would you really love to see some major changes happen?
One thing I think that is key that we get a handle on is education. We push, some of us push for the school choice amendment, and I still think that we have some opportunities there. We are looking at right now, there was an executive order that put aside some money from a federal standpoint that we could have some type of school choice program that would be federally funded, and it would go to organizations that could hand out scholarships. And so we're looking at how is that going to work based on the Supreme Court decision that we had that no tax funding could go toward anything outside of public education. So that's what the decision that the Supreme Court had made, which is why we tried to change the Constitution that would allow us to do that. Like the last few amendments that we've tried to pass here in Kentucky, I don't think the campaign was ran very well. Mm. I think that we missed the mark in a lot of ways, holistically from a conservative standpoint. But I think we have to do that. We have to get in our education system. When you look at our numbers when it comes to how well we are doing in education, and then you look at all of the social contagions and all of the things that are trying to be slipped into our education system to indoctrinate kids, mm-hmm. and to get to their minds and their hearts, to erase the history of where we came from, to erase God in our public sphere, all of those things that is being driven down federally, and it's being driven down a lot by the national teachers' unions. We have to make sure that we get in the middle of that, block that, and I would love to see the Bible back in our school system. Amen. And mm-hmm. For people to openly pray. And, you know, some good things happen in some of the rural areas that are not under the public eye as much, or some of the that are not governed by people of that leftist mindset like some of the larger cities are. But we have to make sure that it's not slipping into our rural areas, and it's happening.
Oh, absolutely.
We have books in our school system that are filthy, pornographic, that young kids have access to. That should never be.
Exactly. Right.
Shouldn't be allowed. Mm-hmm. We have to keep going after those issues and ultimately fix them. And one of the ways I think we do that is we keep exposing that it's going on. And the sunlight on it definitely helps bring attention to it. And so those are some things going forward I think that we have to keep in the forefront.
I don't want to be long, but I do want to say this. Like you was talking about the amendment, really, I guess, how they went about when we was trying to get some of these amendment changes. I think a lot of misinformation was dominating the news cycle, and people just had a lot of bad ideas, especially pertaining to probably even the school choice one. But I think this is what I even learned in the church world more. The grassroots for me is not like just talking to people on social media. It's about getting our face to face. And the more people that will get involved and get activated and get out there and actually bring face to face conversations. It's one thing to say, hey, what can I pray for you on social media? It's another thing when you're in their presence and you're face to face talking to them. And I feel like that was one of the things that was like, we sometimes expect just signs or social media ads to get the job done.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people's not seeing those kind of things. Like there has to be people that rise up to get out their hands, feet, get out there on your feet, moving your hands, talking with your mouth, actually being engaged, answering people's questions. And I just feel like that was probably missing a lot of the times during those two.
But too often in legislation will be filed or even sometimes be passed to check a box instead of to make a difference.
That's good.
You know, and that was one of those things that there were a few of us that were out doing town halls. We were out talking about this in front of groups, answering questions, taking phone calls, doing podcasts, everything that we could do to get the message out there. But as a whole, sometimes we will pass things to say we did this, and it goes to show who was really supportive of it and who wasn't after the fact. Because the year after the amendment failed, then we had bills that were filed to bring more regulations to homeschools. The year after the Life Amendment failed, we had people filing bills to add exemptions to our current laws to allow for more abortions in the state of Kentucky. So sometimes it's more about saving face in the political eye instead of actually let's fight this fight until we win and then move on to the next thing. I don't want to just check boxes with like there. Sometimes we file bills because somebody's interested in an issue and it helps kind of get it out there. But some of these issues like this that are literally life and death, that are light against darkness, we should see them all the way through. And I think, you know, we came up short on that as a whole, as a Republican Party. We could have done better, and we've got to look at how we do that in the future.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left. What would you like to share? I'll kind of open it up for you on this part. I asked a lot of questions, but let's hear from Representative Josh Calloway.
Well, we've got a lot coming up in this session, but my focus has always been what can we do to protect the hearts and minds of the youth, the next generation that is coming up behind us. And so I'm always looking at those opportunities and those ideas. We have things, you know, that in the state of Kentucky that are happening right now that people don't realize is taking place. Things in regard to some of our child protective services and the Cabinet of Health and Family Services, things that are top driven down through the executive branch that I'm working on exposing, working on getting information out there, and what type of legislation can we file that we can protect the youth, and then the education system as well. I think it always has to be in the forefront of our mind. 90%+, no matter what school choice programs you have in your state, 90%+ of kids are going to be educated statistically through the public school system. And if that is the case, it has to be as good and as transparent as it can possibly be, and it has to not push God completely out of it, because that is the future of this country. And so those are going to be things that I'm going to continue to speak about. I get attacked sometimes because I speak about it all the time, but I don't think there's any greater fight than we can be in than the fight against darkness that is attacking the hearts and minds of our children. I saw a statistic the other day, and statistics can be just that, but it said that there has been a decrease, a 50% decrease of teenagers that identify with transgenderism and the LGBTQAI plus community. A 50% decrease in the last year. The reason that that is even turning at all is because light has been shown on the nefarious evil forces that have been driving this mindset to confuse, do nothing but confuse children, because they want the next generation. And they thought they had them.
That's right.
I really believe that they thought that they had won and that they had them. And a lot of things have happened in the last year, and thank God for it.
Amen.
But I think one thing that really opened people's eyes was the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And when that took place, I think a lot of people began to realize how important the truth was and how much that darkness hates the truth being spoken in the public sphere. And I think that we're seeing some things happen we can capitalize on. We need revival. We need a move of God unlike we have never seen before. But we also don't want to miss it when God's moving.
That's right.
And we want to be able to capitalize on some of those things with the momentum that we have. If young people are waking up, we've got to speak louder. We have to shine the light broader.
That's
we have to be more out there than we have ever been speaking the truth. And the truth is what makes them free. It's the only thing that can.
That's good.
Yeah. Amen. Well, we are just about out of time.
Sure, your calling wasn't preaching.
Yeah,
I do preach some.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, I get to. Preaching tonight. I go to Fort Knox every Tuesday night, the Bluegrass Challenge program, and jails and prisons.
Oh,
and,
cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever heard this man play piano?
Oh no. Awesome.
It's a thing of beauty.
I try.
Coming from one piano player to another, I've watched him play, and I'm like, that guy is good. I mean, he's good. He's like, you have to have a photographic memory to do what you do, because you're like playing notes with the orchestra and everything, and you don't have anything in front of you. He just plays them. I'm like,
my brother's that way. I
don't get
I play for every group in our church for the most part, and our choirs and stuff, and I don't have keys written down.
It's ear,
And every once in a while, like, I'm just sitting there going blank, like, what key is this song in? I have no idea, but there's thousands of songs, and they call them, and I just hit the key it's in. And
that's awesome.
I don't know, I guess it come from being young, doing it when I was young.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you
that's
are
really cool.
You are gifted and anointed for it. Election day's next Tuesday, so
yes sir,
everybody I'll get out and vote.
Big day. I'll be on the ballot again in May. I have a primary opponent as well, and then Lord willing, make it through that primary, and I have a Democrat opponent in general election in November next year.
Awesome. We'll be praying.
All right, well, we are out of here for today. Thank you, Representative Josh Calloway, coming on again. Thank you, Ms. Crystal, for being on with us today.
Sure.
It is a blessing, and we're always humbled by the fact that you give us 2 hours of your ear each morning. Thank you, Brother Tim, for sitting. I don't want to miss you either.
Ray, it's all right. I'm just back in here listening.
He's praying in the background.
Yeah. And so it has been a good morning and a great, great day in the presence of the Lord. We're praying for you. Go be blessed today. Tell somebody of the good news of Jesus Christ. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio.